Amen. So we are coming to the end. This is the end of the book of Acts. Amen. And I thought this would be a fitting sermon title today as we approach the end here. Paul, a witness for Christ and an example for us all. Amen. That pretty much explains the whole book of Acts. Amen. Him being a witness for Christ and an example for us to be a witness as well. Amen. And we have been in this book for 18 months this month. Amen. So praise God. And we thank Him for the amazing blessing that Paul the Apostle is to us all. Amen. And for right now, let's have a moment of silence for all those that gave their lives that we may be free today. Amen. 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 And as we remember them, let's also give praise and thanks to all those who have served our country. And so all the veterans, do we have any veterans here today? Amen. Raise your hands. Thank you. Thank you for your service. Amen. Amen. Thank you for your service. Thank you for your service. Praise God. It's honorable and it's fitting this morning that we remember the sacrifice of the nation's great veterans, amen, who gave their lives on battlefields abroad and here at home. By some estimates, nearly 1.3 million Americans have shed their blood and died for freedom's cause. Still, as magnanimous as this number is, it pales in comparison to the number of men, women, and children who have given their lives for freedom's eternal cause. Amen. Amen. Michael J. McClyman, writing for the Journal of American Academy of Religion, wrote in December of 2002, he said, "The total number of Christian martyrs during the 20th century was reported at 45 million. He finished his thought by defining Christian martyrs as believers in Christ who lost their lives prematurely in situations of witness as a result of human hostility. You know, God only knows how many more have shed their blood for the cause of Christ in the last 2,000 years. Amen? It's fitting this morning, though, that we likewise remember their sacrifice. Amen? Amen? Still more fittingly, it's important that we remember the one that they believed in, who shed the purity of His blood for freedom's cause. Amen? Amen? For without the sacrifice of our risen Lord, we in America would not enjoy the freedoms that we love and know so well. Hallelujah. Amen? So that first sacrifice is what really gives us our freedom today. Amen? Amen. Our veterans have died for the freedom of our country, but our martyrs have died for the freedom of our souls. And so, as one nation under God, let us remember them all today. But most especially, maybe the greatest martyr of them all, Paul the Apostle, as we close out this book of Acts. Amen? Now, as we saw last week, Paul had finally made it, amen, to Rome. In fact, he would be escorted by some of those that he had written to in his letter to the Romans. They would actually walk over 45 miles. They loved walking back then, amen? 45 miles each way to escort Paul and his entourage into the great city of Rome, his city of destiny. It's also said in verse 16 that when they arrived there, they gave Paul special treatment, amen? Special treatment. They allowed him to live by himself in a rented apartment, they called it, amen, a rented house. Under a guard, of course, right? He would be given a fresh new guard, they say, every 4 hours. Amen? Every 4 hours or so. That meant that he could witness to a new guard every 4 hours, every day. Amen? This was also a part of God's plan, okay? To spread the gospel. Going to Rome as a ward of the military system had put Paul in a situation far more influential than if he had just shown up as a preacher, a free preacher. Amen? God was going to use his situation. In fact, they would even let him preach from his home arrest in his courtyard. Amen? To everyone who would listen. Everyone and anyone who would listen. And so, our first verses today, God's Word says, verse 17, 3 days after, 3 days later, he called together the local Jewish leaders when they had assembled. And Paul said to them, "My brothers, although I have done nothing against our people or against the customs of our ancestors, I was arrested in Jerusalem and handed over to the Romans. They examined me and wanted to release me because I was not guilty of any crime deserving death. But the Jews objected, so I was compelled to make an appeal to Caesar. I certainly did not intend to bring any charge against my own people. For this reason, I have asked to see you and talk with you. It is because of the hope of Israel that I am bound with this chain." You see, through every missionary journey Paul had, as he arrived at every missionary city, he had this custom that he did. Amen? He would always go to the synagogue first. He would always go to the synagogue first because, remember, as a Jewish rabbi, it was an open door, amen, for him to visit, even speak, and sit in one of those bema seats probably, amen? Remember also, though, as he would say, that it was on his heart, amen, to bring the gospel first to the Jew and then to the Gentile, amen? The Jews would be there. So when Paul finally made it to Rome, the first people he would encounter would ironically be the Jewish people. But remember, he was under house arrest, right? He couldn't go to them, so they would come to him. Amen? And through God's will and God's providence, within 3 days, Paul would be preaching to many of these Jewish leaders of Rome. And there were around 50,000 Jews, they say, in Rome at the time. The city had a population of over 1 million people. And so many of their leaders, the Jewish leaders, were there to speak with Paul and to listen to Paul. And so Paul would begin by saying, "My brothers." He loved to do that, right? "My brothers." Amen? He's saying, "I'm still a Jew." That's what he's telling them. "I'm your brother. I'm still a Jew. I'm your brother." He would say something like, "In case you heard that I have forsaken Judaism, I have not. I am still a Jew." Paul would try to convince them that even though he followed Christ the Messiah, he was still every bit a Jew. Amen? And a Roman, right? And a Roman. But he followed Christ. And he would say that this Jesus is the Messiah you have all been waiting for. Right? He was going to let them know Yeshua was the Messiah they were all been waiting for. Back in 2006, there was in Jerusalem a very famous rabbi named Yitzhak Kaduri, okay? I've been practicing that one for a couple days, but no, I'm just kidding. Yitzhak Kaduri, okay? He was well known. He was a well-known rabbi, a very well-known rabbi, but he would die in January of 2006. Amen? He was born in 1898. All right? He lived to be 108 years old. Amen? Or 108 years young, right? Amen. But before he died, okay, remember he's a Jew, okay? Not a Messianic Jew, just a regular Jew. But before he died, he claimed to know who the Messiah was. Okay? Because remember, today, only the Messianic Jews believe that the Messiah is Jesus Christ. Amen? But Yitzhak claimed he knew who the Messiah was, but he wouldn't tell anybody, okay? So right before he died, he said he wrote it down on a small note of paper, and he gave it to one of his rabbis saying, "Don't read this until I die, until after I die." So he would die, in 2006. And in 2007, a little over a year later, his disciples, of which there was over 200,000 of them, amen, that had all went to his funeral, they would open this note up. And to the surprise of all the disciples and all of his followers, the note said, Yeshua is the Messiah. Jesus is the Messiah. And the note would go on to say that many have known his name, but have not believed. You all knew his name, but you have not believed. It was a shock because this was a rabbi of great influence in their world. Amen? A rabbi of great influence. Well, Paul the Apostle was also a rabbi of great influence. Amen? And he still is today. Praise God. Amen? And he would go on, Paul would go on to say that he had done nothing against our people, he told them. Amen? I have done nothing against our people or the customs of our ancestors. Right? And then in verse 18, he says that they had released him and they were ready to let him go. The Romans were going to let him go. And he told them, because the Romans found no guilt in me. They found no guilt. But he said, but the Jews objected him and that he had to appeal to Caesar to save his life. That he had never intended to argue with or bring any charge against his own people. He was just trying to bring the good news of salvation to everybody. Amen. That's all he was doing, amen? First to the Jew and then to the Gentile, amen. Right? And then in verse 20 he says, that's why I called you all here, to prove once and for all that it's because of the hope of Israel, God's people, that he was in those chains. Amen? Because of the hope of Israel. Paul was respected, and he would declare that Jesus was the Messiah. And in verse 21, they would reply. They said, we have not received any letters from Judea concerning you, and none of our people who have come from there have reported or said anything bad about you. But we want to hear what your views are, for we know that people everywhere are talking against the sect, talking against the way. Amen? So the first thing they tell Paul is, we haven't heard anything about you or this case that's against you. We've only heard of the letter that you sent to your church, the Romans. Amen? We've only heard of this letter, so come and speak with us. Come and speak with us. Amen? They say, we want to hear your views in verse 22, because we know that many are speaking against you and that sect, the church you represent. All the Jews knew about Christianity was the fact that many people were speaking against that church. Amen? And what it stood for. That's all they really knew. Amen? And that's what a lot of people today, that's what a lot of people today know about our faith and Christ in the church. Amen? Believe it or not, there are many people today who do not understand who Jesus is or what the gospel means. Amen? Many today. And many are even offended when they hear the word Jesus. Amen? A lot of people are offended. Can you believe that? Why would anybody be offended by the name above all names, right? By our Creator, by our Savior. And so they wanted to give Paul a chance to plead his case. Because after all, he was a respected rabbi, right? They respected him. And he had studied under Gamaliel, right? They knew who he was. They respected him. They wanted to hear his message for themselves. And sometimes that's all it takes, right? And that's why it's important for us to all to spread the gospel to the ends of the earth, as the Lord calls us to do. The Great Commission, right? It's not just a job, right? It's a commandment. Amen. Amen. For all of us as believers. And so these Jewish leaders, they're going to hear the gospel for themselves, from Paul himself. And it says some of them will be converted. Verse 23 says, they arranged to meet Paul on a certain day, and they came in even larger numbers to the place where he was staying. He witnessed to them from morning until evening, explaining about the kingdom of God, and from the law of Moses and from the prophets, he tried to persuade them about Jesus. Some were convinced by what he said, but others would not believe. Paul preached an all-day sermon to these men, all day long. Amen? Probably from a scroll, mind you. Amen? There are a lot of churches around the world today that have all-day services. Amen? But today in America, a 30-minute sermon might be too long, right? It might be too long. Mine's about 31 minutes today, but but the point is we must reaffirm our faith. Amen? We must get serious about God's Word because the time is short. Amen? And so we see Paul was given an opportunity, right? And he wasn't going to waste it. He was going to take it to the fullest, and he was going to preach an all-day sermon to these men that wanted to hear what he had to say. I wish I could find that sermon on YouTube somewhere, amen, because that'd be awesome to watch that, right? Even if it was 12 hours, right? Yeah. Just to see Paul preaching to these guys. And so he would try to explain and try to persuade them in ways and words that they were familiar with, right? He's talking about the kingdom of God through the law of Moses and through the words of the prophets. These are things that they knew that they could associate with, amen? He was going to talk to them in ways they could understand. And he would testify about the Messiah from morning until evening. And the result would be that some were convinced, right? Some were convinced and some were not. Sounds like being a witness in the world today, right? Some will be persuaded and some will not. Amen? But even so, he would be planting seeds all day. Literally. Amen? People, we're called to plant those same seeds of faith everywhere we go. Amen. Everywhere we go and in everything we do. All day, if possible, and if necessary. It should be a labor of love that gives God all the glory. How much time do we have for the Lord to give to spread His gospel? Amen? Paul had witnessed all day to these men, and I'm sure he would ask them if they were going to put their trust in the Messiah, Jesus Christ, right? And it says right there that some were convinced and some would say, yes, I do. Yes, I will. Some men would walk into that service, non-believers, and walk out believers. Amen. Come as you are, but don't leave as you came. Amen? Yeah. Amen? That's a beautiful thing that us pastors pray for every week, amen, right? Every week that some new person's going to come to Christ, right? At one of our services. Amen. We pray for that. Maybe even at a CR meeting. Amen? Maybe even at a recovery meeting. But it also says in verse 24 that others were not going to believe. Amen? Not everybody's going to believe. There will always be those who reject the gospel. But guess what? We're still planting the seeds of faith. Amen? They may be rejecting it today. Right? But we're planting those seeds that someone else may water at some time. Amen? But God is the one that'll bring the increase. God brings the increase. Amen? So keep planting those seeds. And so Paul had spoken all these words of holy men that they revered, holy men that they were familiar with, that they studied. Amen? But remember, not all would believe. Verse 25 says, they disagreed among themselves and began to leave after Paul had made this final statement. He said, the Holy Spirit spoke the truth to your ancestors when he said through Isaiah the prophet, go to this people and say, you will be ever hearing but never understanding. You will be ever seeing but never perceiving. For this people's heart has become calloused. They hardly hear with their ears, and they have closed their eyes. Otherwise, they might see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their hearts and turn, and I will heal them. He had been preaching all day. And some had already given their lives to Christ. But at this point, Paul is preaching to those who still had not given in to God. Amen? To Christ. He was going to turn up the heat, though. Amen? He was going to turn up the heat and he was going to drop a bomb on them. Hallelujah. He would say, you're hearing the words, but you're not understanding. In one ear and out the other, if you will, right? Amen. The essence of that passage of Isaiah is that he was reciting to them is this point, that if you've already rejected Jesus, right, then you can hear, but you will never understand, right? If you've already rejected him in your heart, you will hear, but you will never understand. You can see, but never perceive, he said. Your heart is calloused and hardened because you do not want to be healed of your sin.
Amen for that.
Because you do not want to be healed of your sin. And that's the same for a lot of people in the world today. It was true when Isaiah said it. It was true when Paul said it. It's true today. Many will hear the gospel and reject it because they don't want to turn to God. They don't want to be healed of their sin. Right? Many people are okay with their sin. Amen? And we just like Paul, we can preach to them all day, but it's the Holy Spirit that's going to change their hearts for God, not us. Amen? We just preach the truth and remind them what the truth is, but it's the Holy Spirit that will change them. People reject Jesus because they don't want to give up their sins. And if that's you, and the seeds have been planted in your heart, yet you still reject him, all we ask is that you be honest with yourself. Just be honest with yourself, because there will come a day when it's going to be too late. Remind yourself of that as well. Amen? And that day is going to come like a thief in the night. Amen? 1 Thessalonians, like a thief in the night. Paul knew some of their hearts were hard towards his message, and he wanted to be sure that they understood the implications of their actions. Right? He wanted them to see and hear the truth so they could all be saved.
Amen.
But of course, many would still object to Paul's message. So he's going to tack on a couple more verses for them. Amen? 28 and 29. Verse 28 says, therefore, I want you to know that God's salvation has been sent to the Gentiles, and they will listen. In 29, which is omitted from a lot of your Bibles, but it's in our bulletin today. After he had said this, the Jews left, arguing again vigorously amongst themselves. They left Paul still arguing with one another. Amen? There was still a division amongst them, and they would argue because Paul had said to them, gentlemen, I love you, and I want you to receive this good news of the Messiah. I want you to fulfill what God has for you.
Amen.
But if you don't, he'd tell them, don't think that God's work ends with you. Amen. God's word is going to be received by many. And if it's the Gentiles that want to receive it, then they're the ones who will be anointed, not you.
Amen.
Amen? First to the Jew, and then to the Gentile.
Hallelujah.
And Paul would plead for them to receive Jesus. He didn't beg them. He loved them. Amen? And he warned them. But it's a free will decision that they had to make for themselves. And it still is today for us. Amen? For each of us as an individual, it's a free will decision that you need to make for yourself. Because once saved is not always saved. Amen? We have to repent daily and give it all to Christ each day. Any true preacher of the gospel, like this one right here, next slide. Any true preacher of the gospel preaches two messages. Amen? Two messages. To those who receive Jesus, it's a message of life. Right? That's the first message. But to those who reject Jesus, he preaches a message of condemnation.
Amen.
Right? Amen? Two messages, life and condemnation. It's your choice. Amen? So receive Jesus, because remember, there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Romans 8:1. Amen? Paul would say goodbye. Those will be the last words of Paul in the book of Acts. Amen? Last words for now, okay? Our final verses say that for 2 whole years, Paul stayed there in his own rented house and welcomed all who came to see him. He proclaimed the kingdom of God and taught about the Lord Jesus Christ with all boldness and without hindrance.
Amen to that.
Without hindrance. God's will and providence had brought Paul to Rome, just like the angel said. Amen. He had made it to Rome. He had spent 2 years at Caesarea, followed by a year of traveling, and then 2 more years at Rome. 5 years in chains. Amen. 5 years in chains and under guard before he'd be set free, only to later on be arrested again and martyred. Amen. But those last 2 years that he was on home arrest in Rome would be a beautiful time for him to witness, right? To witness, to study, and to proclaim the word of Christ to everyone who would come and listen to him.
Amen.
Amen. Including those guards, right?
Amen. Hallelujah.
The guards who didn't have a choice because they were there guarding him. And one person who had come to meet him at this time in Rome was a slave named Onesimus. Amen? And Paul would end up writing a letter to that slave's master, okay? And that slave's master's name was Philemon. Amen? And that is in your Bible. That's in the New Testament. It would happen, that would happen during his final stay. Amen? During his final stay. You see, Paul was on house arrest, and he could not leave the property, okay? We all know what house arrest is, right? He could not leave the property, but he could visit and talk with anybody he wished. Amen? Anybody he wished. He had some freedoms. But more importantly, he could write letters. Epistles, we call them. Amen? Thanks be to God for that, because in those 2 years, not only was he preaching 12-hour sermons, but he would write the amazing books of Ephesians, Philippians, and Colossians.
Amen.
Amen? What a blessing, right? You see, God never wastes a hurt. He didn't waste a hurt in Paul's life, and if we pay attention and give it all to God, he'll never waste a hurt in our life either. Amen? He'll use everything for his glory, even our suffering. Paul would eventually get to deliver his message to Nero. And it doesn't say in Scripture, but historians believe that he boldly proclaimed the gospel to the emperor, just as he did to everybody else. Didn't make no difference. He was going to preach that same message. Amen? And as we know, eventually, the emperor would go crazy. He would lose his mind. Amen? But we also know that it wouldn't happen till after Paul had spoken to him and preached to him. So maybe it was his rejection of the gospel that catapulted his mind to madness. Amen? We don't know for sure. But historical traditions would go on to say that Paul would eventually be acquitted of his charges and set free. Amen? They said he may have been free for 4 or 5 years before he returned to Rome to be arrested again and then put in prison once more and martyred. And there they say in Rome that he would be beheaded. Amen? After the great fire, they would behead him. Luke had prepared this whole story before Paul had even met with the emperor. Amen? He had written this and prepared it. Both of Luke's books would be about the Christian movement. Amen? Both of his books. The book of Luke was all about Jesus. Right? It was all about Jesus. And the book of Acts was all about Paul's important role in the great commission of Jesus,
Amen.
Of Christ. Amen? And the last verse today would sum it all up in a few words, saying that he would preach the gospel without hindrance. Paul would preach the gospel without hindrance. Not that Paul would be without hindrance, right? We know he had plenty of hindrance. Amen? All the way to the end. But that God's word and the opportunity to preach it would be without hindrance. Because Paul had every opportunity that God gave him to preach his word. Amen? And all that because of the providence of God. Because of the providence of God and the Holy Spirit that lived in Paul. Amen? And it lives in all of us today as well as believers. Right? That same Holy Spirit lives in us. So because of that, we are called to be a witness for Christ. Amen? Just like Paul, in the good times and in the bad times. Always be a witness, unafraid and unashamed. Amen? Romans 1:16 says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes, first to the Jew and then to the Gentile." Amen? Amen. Amen. So keep proclaiming His name. Give it all to God. Amen? And He will change your life.
Amen.
Amen. Let us pray. Let us pray. Lord, we thank You for this amazing 18-month journey through the book of Acts that instructed us and calls us to be witnesses of Your holy word and Your promise. We also thank You, Lord, for all those that have sacrificed their lives for the gospel that brings eternal life. From Paul and all the apostles to so many martyrs of today, we owe a prayer and a debt of gratitude. But today, as we remember those that gave their lives for our freedom, let us also remember the one who gave His life for our salvation, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And it is in His name that we pray. Amen and amen.
Amen.
Let's give the Lord a hand. Amen.